Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Real sports talk for real fans with real opinions. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
Monday morning, 4:06. Good morning, Jet fans. Well, maybe good morning to Aaron Glenn. Wake up. I know it was early there, 9:30 in London, but man, oh man, the Jets had one of those games. Me and Fleece were just talking about it. Hi, how are you? Chris McMonagle here. I got you for another hour here on The Fan as we take it to the warm-up show at 5. Me and Fleece were just talking about it. Like, it's one of these games you'll remember and a season that you'll probably forget. It's one of those games and moments you remember. I know we're talking about how bad and poorly a coach game it was from Aaron Glenn in a myriad of ways. And I'm going to get to it right now. But it was so bad. And as Pete in the update there, who's clearly unhappy with it as well, say, what? It's so poorly coached game. And that moment of that sequence at the end of the first half where they're just running the football and Kurt Warner is losing his mind that there is no aggressive nature to it. They're not trying to go down the field and score. They are running the clock out. They pull a fake punt just to continue to run the clock out. They're standing there for the last 20 seconds. Nobody knows what's going on. The camera's showing the quarterback. He's standing there. The clock just continues to run. You turn to the coach. He's not yelling. He's just sitting, standing there. Like, that moment, and then not going to the backup after you've told the world. Like, you have told us, the fans. You have told the rest of the NFL world. You have told the Denver Broncos, and you've told your own team that you do not trust this quarterback to make plays down the field, that you are fearful that at 0-5, looking 0-6 in the face, down 10-6, you are afraid to put the ball in his hands because he'll either turn it over or take a bad sack and fumble. Something bad could happen in your quarterback's hands. That's what you said to your team. We're not chasing points because only bad can happen with this quarterback, and he sticks with him. But that moment is something we will remember. We will remember. We won't remember who they were playing. We won't remember anything else about the season, but we will remember the moment where they chose not to try at the end of the first half. Just like, you know, it's been brought up a couple times when we're trying to figure out, has there ever been worse coaching? We don't even remember as Giant fans necessarily who they were playing, what week it was, what's going, like, but we remember Joe Judge calling back-to-back quarterback sneaks up against his own goal line. You remember it. As inept as this franchise is, and as many memories, the butt fumble, everything else, that moment yesterday in that game is so astoundingly stupid and bad that it will stand out forever. That is one of the worst coach games I've ever seen, one of the worst coach sequences I have ever seen, one of the more baffling decisions to never pull Justin Fields, who was atrocious in this game. Absolutely atrocious. He throws, it's a combined negative 10 passing yards, net negative 10. In a game they had a chance to win, the defense showed up and played extremely well. Extremely well. They gave up 13 points in this game. And to me, that dichotomy, the contradiction of the coach saying at the end of the half, I have no faith in this quarterback, having his young stud wide receiver who they just paid and is one of the faces, if not the face of the franchise at the moment, is screaming at you on the sidelines, talking about in the postgame that he wasn't sure of the plan, and then once he realized what it was, he was furious with it. He's in your face on the sidelines, and you're telling him that you don't trust the quarterback to make plays to him. And you don't change. You don't go to the backup who is arguably the most accomplished and best backup in the NFL. You never pull that trigger. You come back out in the second half and let him play every snap after you told the team you don't trust him to make plays? For a team that's 0-5, now 0-6, it is one of the more stunning decisions I've ever seen. Just absolutely stunning. And then in the postgame, when asked about the quarterback situation for next week, he has the nerve to tell Brian Costello and the rest of the media, in fact, let's just play it. This is Brian Costello of the New York Post asking this head coach, who again showed you no faith in this quarterback whatsoever, opened up the press conference talking about how miserable the passing game was. They had one of the worst passing attacks in the history of the NFL. It's been 30 years since someone put up negative 10 passing yards net in the NFL. It is an absolute hideous performance. He acknowledges that at the start of the broadcast, at the start of the postgame. He is 0-6 now. And he's asked about the quarterback situation for next week, and this is his response.
Is he going to be your quarterback next week, or would you consider
him? What kind of question is that?
Look, he did not have a good game. I mean, I think it's a fair question.
There's a number of guys that, you know, I mean, sometimes this league is like this, and there are guys that have bad games. That doesn't mean you just bench them. Come on, you know better than that.
Say what?
Say what? Are you kidding me? I think Pete nailed it. Say what? Are we serious? What kind of question is that? You're 0-6. The quarterback just threw for negative 10 yards. You yourself rather have just run out the last 3 minutes of the game, the last 3 minutes of the first half, than take a chance to go score. Your offense scored 11 points. Two on a safety, and two field goals that were set up by your defense and your special teams. You had one drive that started outside of field goal range and ended up in field goal range. One the entire game. You didn't do anything to help him either, by the way. He has 9 sacks. About 7 of them are on him because he holds the ball forever. You've got one of the more dynamic, you know, running backs in the sport and dual-purpose backs in the sport who's good catching passes out of the backfield. He's not targeted once. You did nothing to make life easy for the quarterback. He only rushes 7 times. He's a running quarterback who can't throw. So he doesn't run the ball enough. You don't try and get him any checkdowns or any kind of easy plays to get momentum and get a couple of completions for him. And then when it is comes time to throw the ball down the field to go try and score at the end of the half or the end of the game, you don't trust him to do it. You don't trust him. You made it crystal clear. And then when you're asked in the postgame whether or not he's going to be your starting quarterback next week, you lecture the media for it being a dumb question and that they should know better than that? Mr. Accountability? This is the same coach who cut the kick returner for fumbling in week 1. Cut him. Talked about accountability and cut him. Talked about how if you're not helping us win football games, there's no place for you here. The quarterback did everything he could to lose you the football game, and you didn't make the change. And now when asked about it, It's some sort of ridiculous question that the media should know better. This guy got hired because he supposedly knows the market. He knows the team. He can tell you how windy it was in the 98 conference championship game. He played under the great Bill Parcells. He knows what it's like to win here, what it's like to lose here. He understands the media. He understands the market. He understands the team. How the hell can he answer the question about who's your starting quarterback next week at 0-6 after that performance and stare the media in the face and say, that's a ridiculous question? Like, it's astounding to me that he could possibly say that. Give the rote, obvious answer. Give the I gotta watch the tape answer. I don't care what you say. Well, listen, I'm not going to make the game just ended. We're not making rash decisions. Oh, we're going to go through the tape. We're going to make that decision later. You know, Justin's our quarterback, but, you know, everyone's up. Everything's up for change at 0-6. I don't know, something. Do not lecture the media on that being a ridiculous question. It is like this. It's astounding how he managed the game. It's astounding how he handled the press conference. I cannot believe he said that. I cannot believe he lectured the media on asking a question about the quarterback status when he doesn't trust him to throw the ball. You should know better than that. You should know better than that. It's seriously one of the worst coaching performances I've ever seen. Now, again, I don't know. They're 0-6. And the other thing is, like, that's just really hard to understand. This isn't his guy. Like, I think someone asked me earlier, Fleegs asked me, like, if it's Jackson Dart, you know, if it's Jackson Dart, it's completely different. They just drafted him. That's his guy. If Jackson Dart has that kind of performance, yeah, you stick with him because you're trying to find. Justin Fields is a lottery ticket that they were hoping might work out. He's a bridge quarterback they gave a 2-year contract to. They have no equity in Justin Fields. There's no one, like, his job isn't tied to Justin Fields' success. He owes this kid nothing. And I'm not, listen, Justin Fields had a miserable game. That's all. He had a miserable game. I'm not trying to get on him too much. He had a miserable game. I thought it was a mistake to bring him in. You're watching him play. He can't make decisions quick enough in the NFL. He just can't. But they owe him nothing. He's not their guy. He's not the guy of the future. You're not playing through rookie mistakes here. This is his fifth year in the league. He's not your quarterback moving forward. That question's already been answered. Now, that would be a question we all know better than to ask, because the answer is obvious. He's not the quarterback moving forward. So why are you stuck with him? Why are you not willing to go to your backup quarterback? And again, you could go to him next. You could bring him back out to start this week. That's fine. I don't understand any of it. He had himself a day. He had himself a day out in London. That was one of the more, the contradictory of everything. To go for it, to pull a fake punt and then still play just to run the clock out. To tell your team, I don't trust the quarterback, and to never make a change, and then to go into the post game and say, who's my quarterback next week? What are you, an idiot? Like, that is... that's some job by Glenn, I'll tell you. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to your calls. Brett in Long Island has something to say on Aaron Glenn.
Chris, I can't believe you're working on Columbus Day when you claim to be Italian. I got to ask you a question.
That's
fairly
funny.
What would you think that Aaron Glenn should do when his player, like Garrett Wilson, is screaming at him, in his direction around him? What should be done there?
I don't know. Nothing. He didn't grab him by the nape of the neck. He didn't grab him by the collar and start, they were having a heated discussion.
I'm asking about head coaches. Like, I remember when Andy Reid and Kelsey screaming in his face, nothing's done about it. And then when I called you 5 weeks ago about neighbors screaming,
I said the same thing.
You seem to have no problem with it.
Correct.
So I don't agree. I don't think that players should be at any point of a season screaming at a coach for any reason. That's where we disagree.
Okay.
You're supposed to respect your head coach.
There is a respect level. They're having a heated conversation.
By yelling?
They're having a heated conversation. The coach is allowed to.
Heated.
Do you have to? Do you respect? Are you allowed to respect the? Are you allowed to respect the players or no? Can you yell at the players?
Chris, it's a head coach of an organization. That's a bad look.
I disagree with you. I don't think anyone's getting on. They're having a heated conversation.
I listen to you every day, and I didn't hear this energy about Aaron Glenn, by the way. This should be discussed. You didn't have this energy before the hire. You always blame the players. I don't know about that.
I didn't have this kind of energy because I didn't know he was going to be this inept a head coach. But I said from the beginning I didn't want him. I said from the beginning I didn't think Aaron Glenn was a good hire. I wanted an offensive-minded head coach. Because if you let me finish, I said I wanted an offensive-minded head coach because I knew they'd be drafting a quarterback, or I wanted someone to come in here and stabilize the franchise, somebody who I knew had, you know, experience as a head coach. I think I gave a big rant on bringing in Pete Carroll. I wanted, a coordinator. I wanted an offensive coordinator because I think that's how you're going in 2020.
The Jets have been a defensive team, though.
I don't care.
They have Brees Hall. They have Justin Fields.
And they
Why
stink.
Do you, need, you don't they, need. You don't
yeah,
need
I didn't want Justin
thing.
Fields either. I wanted to keep Aaron Rodgers. I wanted to keep Aaron Rodgers.
You didn't
I wanted
want
to bring.
Aaron Rodgers.
I did want Aaron Rodgers. This team would be a hell of a lot better off right now if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. He's going to go win. He's going to go win a division. He's
going to
go win a division right now in Pittsburgh.
They weren't going to be an offensive-minded team at all.
They're drafting a quarterback in April. They're drafting a quarterback in April. Do you want a defensive-minded head coach who doesn't know how to call an offensive game plan, make that decision, and then groom him to be the next guy? It's offense, buddy. It's 2025. You can hardly touch the receivers. There's like, you know, you win games scoring points. You win games because of your quarterback. That's why I want an offensive head coach, because that's football in the that's NFL and today's the game. You need to have a good offense. Look what's gone on in Jacksonville. Like, you need a young. If you're going to get a young coordinator, to me, he better be offensive. And especially if you're in a position where you're going to be drafting a quarterback, if you don't have a quarterback. And did I have this kind of passion? No, because I never expected he'd be this bad. But I still didn't like the hire. Go back and listen. You say you listen to me every day. You heard me say I like Aaron Glenn hire. I did not. I didn't hate it. He was well deserving of it. His resume dictated him getting a head coaching job. No, I didn't think it was a disastrous hire, but it wouldn't have been my choice. If I was going coordinator, I would have went offense, and I wanted someone like I would have went for a Pete Carroll. I did a whole show on Pete Carroll should be the guy. I wanted someone you could hand the keys over, someone who's been established, someone who's, you know, won, someone who, you know, might have enough status where, you know, he could kind of brush off the owner and not be, you know, weighed upon by it. Like, I wanted someone to establish, even if on a short term, come in here and establish some winning, establish a culture here that I knew would be successful, or at least felt good about being successful, because he's done it before. Aaron Glenn never did a damn thing as a head coach. And part of the reason he got hired is because he knows the market, and then he gives you answers like that in the postgame. So again, look, I don't know. I don't know. Is he inept? Will he never be a good head coach? Can he not grow from this moment and become a good head coach? Yeah, sure he can. He can. He's a good football man. I'm just saying he had a doozy. He had a miserable game. And he's 0-6. And again, here's my if they had the quarterback here, if they had a Kirk Cousins type locked up for the next 4 or 5 years, if they signed, you know, a Sam Darnold type, ironically enough, where you knew he was the guy, or they had the young quarterback, whatever the case, like if their quarterback situation was settled, I would be less inclined to really think about a one and done. As bad as it's been, as ugly as it's been, as the same mistakes are still prevalent, as they're still turning the ball over, as they're still not getting turnovers, although they got their first in this game and it set them up for the first field goal, they're still committing penalties at way too high a clip. Like, all the same nonsense that has dragged them down is still there. They're 0-6, and he handled this game as badly as you can handle a game. I still wouldn't be like 100% you got to move on from him, because I think coaches can improve, and I don't like firing a coach year one. They made a decision. They saw something in him. It's 1 year for a franchise that has been inept for how long? I'm willing to cut him some slack, but my only issue is April will bring the biggest decision that this franchise will make for the next 3 to 5 years. They are going to be at the top of this draft. Maybe not number one, maybe not number two. They are going to be a top five pick. They are going to have an opportunity to trade up for a quarterback. They're going to have an opportunity to draft a quarterback. That's what's going to happen for the New York Jets in April. And then the following season, you are going to have to cultivate that quarterback. You are going to have to groom that quarterback. You are going to have to put him in the hands of someone that can turn him from prospect to NFL quarterback. That's what next season will be about. April comes the decision. Next season is about making sure that decision was correct. It's the biggest moment in the franchise's future for the next 5 years. And now you're asking me to trust a coach to be part of that brain trust, to trust a coach to be the one who's going to mentor that young quarterback when he is a defensive-minded head coach and he has shown me nothing. Again, they brought in Justin Fields. They should know his abilities and his failings. There was nothing about this game plan that made me think they understood what Justin Fields is at all. At all. Breece Hall is one of the better pass-catching running backs in the league. He's not targeted. Justin Fields can't throw the ball down the field. His legs are explosive. He has seven carries. There's no screens. There's not a lot of design runs. Like, there was nothing that indicates that this offense understands who their quarterback is. And then there's no understanding of how it needs to change in the second half. And you've got someone there who's capable in a game that you could have won. And now I'm supposed to hope that him and Muji can pick the right guy and that he can develop him. That's my main concern about whether or not this coach should be one and done. That's my main concern. Because this next year is going to be a huge year for this Jets franchise. Huge year. Has this coach shown you anything to make you believe he should be at the helm of that? Because I'll tell you what's worse, right? As we've had so many conversations about Dable and, you know, firing a coach, you know, moving on from Daniel Jones, you know, Daniel Jones situation and changing coaches on him and blah blah blah. Like, do you want to have Aaron Glenn make that decision, be the coach next year? It looks just like this. And now you're giving a new regime and possibly a new GM, a new head coach, a quarterback they didn't draft, a quarterback they might not like, a quarterback now learning a new offense. Like, that's the disaster. That's the disaster. This is a tough spot for Aaron Glenn to look this inept with that decision coming. It's a tough time for him. And the way he looked at his team and said, yeah, I don't trust us. I don't trust this offense at all. I don't trust this quarterback at all. We are not risking. I'm not going to go try and score here. What are you, crazy? We're playing defense. I'm not messing around. I'm running the clock out. I am not risking a damn thing with this quarterback because I don't trust him. But hey, we're sticking with him through the second half. If I were in that locker room, he would have lost me. If I were in the locker room and I'm trying to win, and he's telling me on one hand I don't trust the quarterback, and on the other hand, I'm not benching him, he would have lost me. Because it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Both can't be true. You can't be unwilling to trust him and unwilling to bench him. It can't be both.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
So yeah, me and Fleegs were just having a conversation, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate in my mind because I'm a big devil's advocate guy. I'm always arguing counter sides, like, I don't know, it's the radio show hosting me.
People don't know, you don't actually like Aaron Boone and Brian Cashman. Yeah, you just want to play the
exactly
other side.
Exactly right. So many people hate him that I got to just go against it. But yeah, no, I despise them too. No, but I'm trying to play devil's advocate in my mind because I'm like, am I being too hard on him? Did it make sense? I got a couple tweets saying the way he handled the end of the game, the end of the first half, can kind of make sense if, you know, the way the game played out. They're 10 yards away from kicking a game-winning field goal. You know, you don't want to make the mistake there. But the only way, and me and Fleeks are just talking through it, I think he handled it, obviously, hideously, as did Kurt Warner, as do most. The only way you could even remotely come close to giving Aaron Glenn any kind of benefit of the doubt on how he handled the end of the first half is if he makes the change to Tyrod Taylor. If Tyrod Taylor comes out and plays the second half, then you can understand a little bit how he handled the end of the first half. He didn't want to make a mistake with Fields. He knew he was going to the backup. He didn't want to go to him right there. You know, he wanted to come up with a game plan, talk things through, go over it at half, and then come out with Tyrod Taylor. If he would have done that, you can... I still didn't like the way he handled the first half. They're 0-5.
That's what the people on the post-game show who cover this team, yeah, that's what they thought was happening.
Yeah, that's what we all thought. That's what they thought was happening, yeah. Like, if that happens, if he comes out with Tyrod Taylor in the second half, you can sort of understand how he handled the end of the first half. And even, like, and I wouldn't have been, like, I thought a little bit, like, that's probably what he was telling Garrett Wilson on, yelling, don't worry, we're going to change things up. But, like, going back to him is just makes no sense, and it even stamps the end of the first half even more crazy. But to me, you're 0-5. Go try and score points. What's the worst that happens? What's the worst that could happen? But I could have at least sort of understood it, or at least had a counter argument to what he did if Tyrod Taylor comes out to start the second half. When he comes back out with Fields, then what he did at the end of the first half makes absolutely no sense.
And if you like what he did at the end of the first half, because hey, you can't let Justin Fields throw the ball, don't you have to hate some of the play calls at the end of the game and you're crushing them anyway?
Yeah.
Because in that first down, just we'll keep giving the ball to Breece Hall.
You can't throw the ball in the first down. Yeah. Not if you
like. If that's your philosophy, if that's your belief, then at some point, Aaron Glenn made a huge mistake.
Yeah, there's no doubt. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Omar in Brooklyn. What's up, Omar?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Listen. Let me ask you, I want to make it real and the way it has to be called. This guy is a great player from the Jets, right?
Yes, he was.
He knows the media. He has a good defensive schemes in Detroit. If he's 0-6, you didn't expect him to anybody to make the playoffs. Yes, they have been terrible. But the reality is, if you are going to throw the coach and the quarterback under the bus in the press conference right away at the moment, he is going to take it. Here comes this media that has been called, that has not let. And I repeat, because of this media, the pressure of this media, for last 18 years, nobody, no team has been winning anything here. Because the media was supposed to put it in your head.
Yeah, well, but that's...
The last team today here, they were successfully...
I think you have some sort of a point in that the media makes things more difficult for teams sometimes and players sometimes, but... Do you think the media? You think Aaron Glenn handled the media well last night? Yesterday?
No, I'm not saying Isabel. When you ask a question like that, what he's thinking at the same time? He's thinking that you are throwing my quarterback. That's his quarterback for now. When the year finishes, that's a different story.
You just said he knows that. You started this by saying he's
the Bears will go defend your Villafoli and your. In the morning show,
I don't care, Omar, you're just going on. It doesn't matter. He's asked the question that he has to know is coming. You said he knows the media. He has to know that question is coming. And to tell the media that that was a bad question and that he should know better is an absurd, condescending, dumb answer.
No. The question was asked this way. Oh, who is your? Is he the quarterback for next year? He didn't ask that question. They said, who is your going to be the quarterback?
Is he your quarterback next week?
Basically, they're saying he's not the quarterback. So who is your quarterback? That's what they're saying.
Yes, who's your quarterback next week? Yes. Omar, I'm sorry. If you want to have a conversation about the overall pressure of the New York media and how it's hindered the ability of every franchise in this city to win because it puts more pressure on the fans, on the players, I'll have that debate with you. It's a fascinating one. I think it probably is less integral. I always use that word wrong. Integral. It's probably less important than you think it is, but it's an interesting topic for conversation. But if you want to talk specifically about Aaron Glenn and how he handled the media yesterday in that postgame, I'm sorry. I'm telling you right now, if that press conference happened, and nobody asked Glenn, who's the starting quarterback next week? We would be killing the media. What kind of press conference is that? What a joke. How could you not ask him who the quarterback is? They threw for a total of negative 10 yards. It's one of the worst quarterback performances in recent NFL history. You have to go back three decades to find its like. Come on, man. To say that that's a ridiculous question, what kind of question is that? What kind of question is that? It's the only relevant one today. You're 0-6. Asking you questions about this game means nothing. Who's your quarterback is the only relevant question. I'm sorry, Omar. I hear what you're saying on some level. That's his question. I don't care. There's a million ways to answer that question. Scolding the media for asking it is not one of them. There's a million ways to answer the question. No, listen, hey, Justin Fields, our quarterback. Today was just a bad game, but we expect him to get right back on the horse. He played great against Pittsburgh week one. We expect to see that guy again. I don't know, whatever. Even if you're sticking with him, even if you're already certain you're sticking with him, the idea that he knows the team, he knows the market, he knows the fan base, he knows the media. All of that went out the window when he answered that question like that. I'm sorry, Omar, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're dead wrong. You want to say the media creates too much pressure and it's, you know, too much for the likes of, you know, Joey Gallo? Okay. Quarterbacks have failed here and they've been successful elsewhere, and that could be part of the media to blame? Okay, I'm willing to have that conversation with you. The coach answering the most obvious question that he absolutely should have known was coming in a manner in which what kind of question is that you know better is a borderline disrespectful answer. It's a borderline disrespectful answer. To make it seem like Brian Costello is an idiot for asking that question when it's the most obvious question of the entire press conference is... I mean, the broadcast is questioning it live during the game. It's what everyone is thinking. to not realize that and to go into that press conference annoyed at that question and to scold Brian Costello for it is absurd. It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. He had to know that question was coming. He had to. And if he didn't, then he doesn't know the media like we were told. He doesn't know the market like we were told. He doesn't know the fan. That, I mean, it doesn't matter. You could be anywhere. You could be playing for, that could be any franchise in the NFL. You throw for negative 10 yards, you're 0-6. Who's the quarterback next week is going to be asked. It has to be asked. And I don't care the exact wording. I don't care what you say. 0-6, negative 10 yards passing. You blatantly showed the world you don't trust them. There's only one question to ask. And the idea that he responded like that and made it seem like it was a dumb question. Omar, you're wrong. That is a bad job from the coach. It's a bad job from the coach.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk New York sports on WFAN, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus.
And the postgame didn't end just there. It's like some of it, the stuff about the field goal, like, I don't know what he's talking about. Like, he refers, they're looking at a 62-yard field goal at the end of the game. And he's talking about, he says, I don't want to put a 68, 69-yard field. No, it's not 68. Like, his math was all, he had no idea what he was talking about with the field goal either. We had it at the 35. You're only going to kick a 52-yard field goal? What are you talking about? In today's game with the new ball that's providing all of these long kicks, like, it just, and again, I don't know, I'm not saying it's a slam dunk to kick a 62-yard field goal. It's not. I probably would have, as opposed to trusting that offense that I haven't trusted all day to throw the ball for 8 yards, but I don't know what he's talking about. It's not a 68-yard field goal, and the idea he wouldn't kick a 58-yard field goal when Folk made one a couple weeks ago at 58. Just none of what he said made sense. It was Glenn was confused. He was making bad decisions. That was just a rough game for the coach in every which way. And if you think he handled the media okay, you think he answered that question fine, I disagree with you. I think you had a better chance of arguing that playing it safe at the end of the first half, getting the football back to start the second half, is a sound. You have a better chance making an argument that that's a sound decision than you do telling me that's a reasonable answer in the postgame. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, been watching football 65 years. I never saw a team run the clock out at halftime, before halftime, at the 50-yard line. Never seen that.
I've never seen it either. At the 50, no.
Never. And then he explained He was afraid of a turnover. Wow, yeah,
he didn't want to give the Denver Broncos the offense back the ball. He wanted to just keep it through the halftime and then come back out in the second half with it. It's just he didn't trust his quarterback at all to throw the football. Didn't trust his quarterback.
I think. this guy, he bit off more than he chewed. He could chew. He should have taken Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely.
At least he wouldn't be responsible.
He wouldn't have to worry about this. He would have
correct.
His offensive
just
coordinator
concentrate on the defense.
That's it. And building the team and being the head coach. He could have had a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback along with an offensive coordinator, just having an offensive game plan. Now he's got this young kid who can't throw. That's why I said, man, I said at the start, he should have kept Aaron Rodgers. I said it from the beginning. I did this dopey spin the wheel of crap quarterbacks for a month because I was so pissed. The Jets, you know, pissed me off into doing a segment because Aaron Rodgers should have been the quarterback. But no, he was going to get in the way of all the winning culture they're building. Like, it's laughable. It's laughable. Now, I'm not saying they would have been a Super Bowl contender or they would have even went to the playoffs with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. But at least it would have given him some breathing room. The offense would have been on Aaron Rodgers. He could have just coached the team, worked on the defense, and the team would have believed in Aaron Rodgers. He wouldn't have had this nonsense. Now, again, does Aaron Rodgers get hurt the first week of the Jets? I think the offensive line's better. He stayed healthy with Pittsburgh. It never made any sense to me to dismiss him. He would have worked out a contract situation. You could have been in a better spot there. It never made any sense to me to move on from Aaron Rodgers to bring in Justin Fields. Like, it just never made any sense. You're trying to build something. Win some games with Aaron Rodgers. Take that off your plate as a first-time head coach.
Imagine if they did something crazy, like keep Aaron Rodgers, trade back into the first round, take a quarterback like, say, Jackson Dart,
yeah.
Have him sit and learn behind Rodgers for a year.
That would have been crazy. It's not a bad plan. That's what I wanted to do. We said it all along. I wanted to do that exact thing. I wanted to keep Aaron Rodgers. I wanted to draft a quarterback. That's what I said. That's what I wanted. Doesn't mean I'm right. That's what I would have done. I would have kept Aaron Rodgers. I would have tried to draft a quarterback. But they went with Justin Fields. Richie in Queens, what's up, Richie?
Yeah, see, Mike, that was. I mean, I'm sure you talked about it all morning.
I have.
But that was incredible with Glenn.
I've never seen anything like it. And listening to Kurt Warner, like, it was just like, man, Kurt Warner is beside himself. He has no idea.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah, you see, he was an analyst that was speechless. How often do you hear that?
And
for him to say, like you said, didn't know 64, 62. You know, you can't get first and 3 yards, let alone fourth and 8. You've got to let him try to kick that field goal.
I would have kicked it. I can't call it a slam dunk at a 62-yard field goal, but his math was all off, though. He's talking about, he said something about a 68-yard field goal. I gotta let you go, Richie. I'm getting feedback. That wasn't your fault, but he said something about, like, I was just looking at it with Connor Hughes tweeted it out. The exact quote. Let me just pull it up again. Hold on. Connor Hughes. If you're listening, Connor, thank you. Feel free to call in sometime. I think the decisions have been the correct decisions. Sometimes we just didn't execute. That's okay, just like today's decision. I don't want to give the offense the ball back at the 49 with a timeout, with time on the clock. I don't think that's smart. I think we did, knowing we were going to get the ball in the second half, let's keep it. But then he gets to the field goal. I don't want to put a 68-yard field goal, 65-yard field goal on our kicker when he's never done that. We said the line was the 35. It was a 61-yard field goal. It wasn't 68. It wasn't 65. He's kicked a 58. It's 3 more yards than the kick he's already made this year. And your offense, you didn't trust at any point in the game. You're going to trust them to make that 4th and 7, 4th and 8? as opposed to a kick 3 yards longer than his longest of a couple weeks ago? And you're saying numbers that aren't accurate. And then you said the line was the 35, like you weren't going to kick a field goal unless you got to the 35. That's a 52-yard field goal. Nowhere in between the imaginary 68 you're talking about and the 52, nowhere in between you're kicking a field goal, you're going fourth and seven. What are you talking about? Like he didn't know what he was talking about. If they get to the 40 and it's a 55-yard field goal or 56-yard field goal, 57-yard field goal, he's not kicking it. He's already made a 58. If they line up for a 58-yard field goal, he's not kicking it. Of course he is. Like, what is he talking about? If he didn't, we'd go nuts. 62 is just long enough where we kind of understand it. But it wasn't 68. And there's no way he's playing for the 35. Again, it didn't come into play, but it's just more of he doesn't know what he's talking about. It was a rough press conference. It was a rough press conference after rough game. And I don't blame him because I'd have trouble explaining what the hell I did too. I got to be honest. I'd probably go into a press conference talking a bunch of nonsense too because how do I explain it?
Would have been better if he just said, you know what, I was out late in one of the pubs in London.
Yeah, right, exactly. Damn it, I love warm beer, and I had a rough time with it.
We stink anyway, season's over. <yeah. laughs> My bad, move on.
Like, yeah, I mean, it was just, I don't know. He had a real tough time. But again, so would I, trying to explain what he did. Because it only makes sense if you bring in Tyrod Taylor. We talked about it all morning. This will be the end of it. We'll move right on to next week against the Panthers. I mean, 0-6. At least the Jacksonville, they've played 12 games between the two teams. We're 2-10. Like, it's brutal. Jackson Dart and the way the Giants looked has changed things. You're looking forward now to a game against this Denver Broncos team that seems a hell of a lot more winnable than we thought. And, you know, that's the schedule changes. Now the Giants suddenly have a bunch of winnable games on the schedule. You go beat the Eagles. But hopefully the Giants can turn their season around. I have no faith that the New York Jets are going to be capable of it. We didn't get to a couple of things. We didn't get to the fact that suddenly the Toronto Blue Jays don't know how to do it at home. Something's up. I'm honestly not saying they're cheating. I'm not even kidding. I'm not saying that. But they have something on the Yankees. Because they pounded the Yankees consistently, and then they get two hit by the fifth starting pitcher. The hell was that? I guess I'm happy the Mariners won. I will continue to talk football, baseball, hockey. The Rangers with a tough loss last night, but they played infinitely better than the first loss. We'll get to all of it. Knicks season coming up. It's all starting to change. We'll come back tomorrow. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.